Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes. Hope everyone is doing well. If you're interested in sponsoring an upcoming 3 Ideas, please let me know. Tonight's Chulent, Delicious, is sponsored by the Boker Ton Synagogue. Okay, here we go. And always, our learning should be an aliyah for the neshama of Esther Tehila Bas Gavriel Pinchas. Okay, here we go. The first idea comes from the Chassam Sofer, a beautiful idea that I had seen quoted a number of years ago, and then I couldn't find it inside, and now I just saw it in a sefer by Reb Chaim Drukman. So now that I have it inside, so I'll share it from you there. If you look on page number one, you'll notice that we know that between last week's Parsha and this week's Parsha, it introduces us to the three children of Levi. There's Gershon, Kahat, and Merari. So if you look at the language, and he quotes it here for you, very neatly and organized, Naso es rosh b'nei Kahat, it says, lift up the heads of the children of Kahat, lemishpachosam, levesavosam. So far, so good. Then you come to the children of Gershon, almost verbatim at the beginning. Nasoas rosh b'nei Gershon. There, if you notice, instead of lemishpachosam, levesavosam, it flips it. We're not going to deal with that tonight. And then, when it comes to the children of Merari, it says b'nei Merari, lemishpachosam, levesavosam, and points out the Chassam Sofer. You'll notice that something is missing, and that is the word naso. The word Naso appears by the children of Kahat and the children of Gershon. And then when it comes to the children of Merari, it's absolutely missing Naso as Rosh. It doesn't tell us that we're supposed to count them, or it doesn't say we're supposed to lift them up. Ask the Chazam Sofer, why not? Why is there a discrepancy between B'nai Kahat, B'nai Merari on the one hand, and the children of, B'nai Kahat and B'nai Gershon on the one hand, and the children of Merari on the other hand? Says the Chassam something so beautifully, so beautiful, and I think it's so relevant to every single one of us. He says each one of these children of Kahat, Gershon, and Merari aren't just names, but they represent periods in Jewish history. So for example, the word Kahat comes from the word Velu Yikhat Amim, from the Pasuk in Bereishit. It represents a time when the Jewish people are going to be gathered in the land. In other words, it's a time of plenty, bounty. It's a time of goodness for the Jewish people. The term Gershon, on the other hand, the term Gershon is entirely different. That is from the word Garesh, Migurashim. It's a time not when we're in the land of Israel and successful and have sovereignty, but it's the exact opposite. It's when we are b'nehem galu me'al shulchan aviyim b'mnasim arabim. It's when we are exiled. It's when we are thrown out of our land. Those are the two time periods that are referred to from the children of Kahat, when we're in the land of Israel, and the children of Gershon, when we are thrown out of the land of Israel. Says the Chassam Sofer, in both of those time periods, you need the words naso es rosh l'mishpachosam l'veisavosam. You need to refer them back to their forefathers. Why? Because when you're the children of Kahat, when you're living in a time when there's sovereignty and everything is calm and peaceful for the Jewish people, then don't let it get to your head. Remember that you're standing on the shoulders of giants. Remember who put you here. There was a great line in the movie once. We are who we were. We are who we were. So don't forget where you came from. Naso, you think you're so great, the children of Kahat? Naso l'mishpachosam l'veisavosam. You got to look back. You got to see where you came from. You got to look at all the sacrifices of the people who came before you that they made to bring you to this point. You have to have a little bit of humility. You have to realize that it's not just because of you, because it's because of generations and generations of people that sacrificed before you to get you to the place that you are right now. I hope everyone had that feeling, whether you stayed in or left during Yisker. If you don't have that feeling during Yisker, you're missing the point of Yisker. Yisker is there to remind you that you don't exist in a vacuum. I always try to reflect, to think about generations and generations of decisions that were made that brought me to this very day. Decisions about Judaism, decisions about Jewish education, decisions about leaving Europe, even though it was very difficult to do so. All of those, hundreds of years of decisions, literally, to bring me to this point. That's B'nai Kahat. When things are going well, you have to have a little bit of humility. You got to realize where you came from. So what about the B'nai Gershon? B'nai Gershon is when you're exiled. You're thrown out of your land. That's when you have to realize that even though you're thrown out of the land, Naso, Gam Heim Lebei Sabosam, you got to realize that you are the children of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. You have to remember where you came from. And so even when Hashem sends you in exile and you think that he severed that relationship with you, you got it. You're still connected. L'mishpachosam l'veisavosam. You got to remember that you go back generation, all the way back to Avram Avinu. That's an extraordinary thought, an extraordinary feeling. And so, yeah, there have been difficult times in Jewish history, but that relationship with Hashem has never been severed. That is the children of Kahat. That is the children of Gershon. Now when you come to Merari, though, when you come to Merari, there's no language of Naso es Rosh, L'mishpachos Am L'Beis Hashem. Why not? Says the Chasam Sofer on page number 2, that Merari represents a time period in Jewish history of Marar, from Maror, which means bitter. Bitter times in Jewish history. He says on the bottom right-hand side, Ach Merari heim doro shel shmad. It's a generation of persecution. It's a generation of anti-Semitism. It's a generation where when a Jew goes to rally on behalf of hostages on the street corner in Colorado, they got to worry about being burned. It's a generation of Jews that when they worry about going to an interfaith session at a museum to bolster humanity, they got to worry they're going to get shot on their way out. That, says the Chasam Sofer, is the generation of Merari. Now, why in that generation? You don't need an Asoas Rosh. You don't need to lift them up. You don't need L'mishpichosam, L'veis HaOsam. You don't need to connect them back to the generations of their forefathers. I'm going to read you his Lashon because I can't do it justice. You have to read inside. He says, Ve'ein beria yichol la'amod b'mechitzasam. A generation that exists in a time of persecution and anti-Semitism. You can't stand in their presence. That's how high they are. That's how elevated such a generation is. And therefore, what's the point of saying Naso Rosham? You have to lift their heads. You can't lift them any higher. Any generation that faces anti-Semitism square in the face and stands their ground with pride and with strength, that is a generation that doesn't need to be lifted up because they're already at the highest heights. And therefore, he says, Halo Avosam Tfeilim Lahem. It's not that they have to look back to their forefathers. Their forefathers have nothing on them. They're higher than their forefathers. Why? Listen to the language of the Chasam Sofer. Vehem gedolim mehem. They are greater than them. Any generation that is in a generation of persecution, a generation where you're burned on a street for being Jewish, or you're shot for being pro-Israel, or you're being yelled at just to go to classes on a college campus, any generation that faces that form of anti-Semitism, and instead of cowering in a corner, stands their ground with pride and with strength, says the Chasam Sofer, Heim gedolim mehem. You are greater than any previous generation. You're greater than any previous generation. And therefore, says Rav Drukman, in his understanding of the Chasam Sofer, he says, B'nei dor kazeh, people who live in that generation, Einim zekukim l'nesias rosh l'beis avosam. They don't need anybody else to pick them up. Shereheim gedolim me'avoseim. If you are a proud Jew in the face of persecution, anti-Semitism, you are greater than those who came before you because you are living a life of Mesiras Nefesh al Hashem. Because that's what it means to succeed, to be the highest of a Jew, is to be Moser Nefesh, is to commit yourself with full devotion to Hashem, even under trying and difficult circumstances. And so says the Chasam Sofer, each of these, Kahat, Gershon, and Merari, represent a different generation of Jewish history. Kahat, when everything's going well, we're in the land of Israel, we have sovereignty, we have a homeland. Gershon is when we're thrown out, we're in exile, things are difficult. And both of those times, for different reasons, we need Naso Es Rosh. We need to look back towards previous generations, either for humility or to realize that even though things are difficult, Hashem still has a relationship with you. But a generation of Merari, a generation of Maror, a generation where you have to worry about putting on a yarmulke in New York or in Washington or in Denver. You have to worry that you're going to be assaulted just for being Jewish. And yet you stand tall with pride and with strength and with conviction. Then, in the words of the Chasam Sofer, Heim gedolim mehem. You are greater than any previous generation. That is the pinnacle, that is the climax of what it means to be a Jew, to live a life of Mesiras Nefesh LaHashem. What an astounding idea of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer, who was writing hundred plus years ago, and how applicable it is, I believe, to our day and age, specifically in a post-October 7th life, certainly for those of us who live in the diaspora. We are no longer just the children of Kahat. We are no longer just living this idyllic utopian existence, either in Israel or in the exile. We're also not the children of Gershon. because we are partially back in the land of Israel, we have an element of sovereignty, we have a homeland, we have a Jewish army. But I believe we've been thrown back, unfortunately, after almost an 80-year hiatus, we've been thrown back into a generation of Merari, of Maror, of the bitterness, of being tested, of are we going to stand the test of Jewish pride? Are we going to stand the test of Mesiras Nefesh? And any person, and any people, and any generation that does that, that stands tall, and that stands proud, and stands with strength and conviction, him gedolim mehem. You are greater than the previous generation, and therefore there's no need for the words Naso es Rosh Lamishbech Osam Leves Osam. You don't need to raise that generation up. They're already raised so high. And you don't need to point them back to their forefathers for strength, because they are even stronger than them. They're even greater than them. Hope that gives us all a level of confidence, a level of conviction after a difficult few weeks, a very difficult few weeks, going into Shavuos with that imagery of Jews literally being burned, of going into Shavuos, of that imagery of Jews being shot, coming out of a pro-Israel event, to recognize that this is now the test of our generation. Certainly for diaspora Jews in a post-October 7th world, not just to support Israel and not just to go Israel, but as long as we're here, to make sure that we are maintaining our Jewish conviction, our Jewish identity, our Jewish pride. And when we do that, that is the highest height for a Jew in the diaspora. What a stunning idea from the Chasam Sofer. Idea number two comes from page number three, from the Beis Yisrael, quoted by Reb Biederman. Also such a stunningly beautiful idea. I'll introduce it with the following scenario. Imagine if you're the Nazir. So we know that a Nazir, he commits himself to an added level of purity. And then what happens? Sometimes he makes a mistake. Sometimes he comes in contact, probably accidentally, but sometimes, right, sometimes he can't control it, with something that's going to make him tameh. Okay, let's say he comes in contact with a deceased body, and now he's lost his status of nazir. So what does he have to do? He has to cut his hair, and he starts over again. That's what the pasuk says. V'asa kohen echad l'chatas v'echad l'ola. He has to bring these sacrifices, and then v'chiper alav, he gets his form of atonement. Okay, v'kidesh es rosho b'yomahu, and then he sanctifies his head on that day. Then it goes on to say, v'hizir al Hashem es yemeini zrove v'keves ben shnaso l'Hashem v'yamim harishonim yiplu ki tame nizro. And his first days shall fall aside. Why? Because he became contaminated. Says the Beis Yisrael something so beautifully, reading into those psukim. He says, imagine how this Nazir felt. Let's say he was a Nazir for 30 days. So you work hard for 30 days. You're growing 29 days. You're growing out your hair. You're careful about wine. You're careful not to come in contact with a dead body. All of a sudden, 29 days, you're walking down the street. You walk into a building. You go to the hospital. Oh, you come in contact with a dead body. You got to start again. So you feel horrible about yourself. First of all, you messed up. You committed yourself to something and you didn't get there. Now also you have a little bit of the embarrassment to the shame, because everyone's going to see that you're cutting your hair a little early, and then you got to go back and go through the process again. So it's not just embarrassing internally, personally, but it's a little bit humiliating, because you showcase your mistake to the world. Says the Beis Yisrael, now you understand these psukim. He says, Hayamar behlochiach mi psukim eila. From these psukim we learn, she'ein lo la'adam li'isya'ish klal. That a person, even when they make a mistake, should never give up hope. Even when a person makes a mistake, they should never give up hope. Because the pasuk says that when they come in contact with the deceased body, it is bipeta pitom. It's suddenly. In other words, it's almost accidental. Like he's walking into a building, he doesn't realize it, all of a sudden he's tameh. He feels bad about himself. So what does the Torah say on my second underlying page number three? Aval pichein. Even though he feels bad about himself, amra Torah v'kidesh es rosho bayom hahu. What do? You sanctify yourself that day. In other words, you pick yourself up and you start again. So you made a mistake. You might have fallen back. You might have been working on something and you made a mistake. You had a setback. You know how you recover? V'kidesh es rosho b'yomahu. You sanctify yourself again today. In other words, let's say you've been counting 30 days. So you count one day, number one, day number two, day number three. You feel good about yourself. Day number 10, day number 11, day number 12. You feel great about yourself. Day number 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 29. You feel amazing. And then it doesn't work out. Either you're not careful enough, you make a mistake, whatever it is. So you have two options. You throw up your hand, you say, whoops, I messed up. Or instead of saying, well, I messed up now, you say, okay, today's day number one, because I'm going to start the count again. I'm picking myself up. I'm not going to just wallow. I'm not just going to cower in a corner and throw my hands up. But V'kidesh es rosho bayomahu. He says, Yazov kol ha'cheshbonos. You're going to erase all of those negative thoughts, and you're going to just go forward. I see we have Dr. Shockett here. He would probably tell, if he was giving this class, that is fundamental in any form of therapy. Any form of therapy, a person is working on something, Shmir say Naim, anger, whatever the case might be, and you're working on it and you make a mistake. The worst thing you can do is throw your hands up and feel bad about yourself. What you gotta do, put yourself back on the horse, pick yourself back up, and today's day number one. And now he says, now you understand what the end of the pasuk means, V'hayamim harishonim yiplu, which means that those first days fall by the side. What it means is that you gotta let it go. You gotta let the mistake go. You gotta let the past go. You can't dwell in the past and get stuck in it. We spoke about that a little bit on Shabbos. You can't get stuck in the past. Let that hold you back. V'hayamim harishonim yiplu. You gotta let go of what happened before, and bayom hahu. All you gotta focus is on today, going forward. And therefore he says, shelo yisya'ish, eliyamon mipilaso. You can't give up. You can't just throw your hands up in despair. Rather, yamod benifalo. You gotta get up from falling down and saying, vayomer mikan ulahaba, onward, forward. I'm gonna start the count again. And so yes, I'm so devastated that I was at 29, I was so close, I made a mistake, how embarrassing, how humiliating, what a setback. This happens to me every time. How many times have I tried to work on something? How many times have I failed? No. That is the worst thing a Jew can do. Rather, v'kidesh es rosho bayomahu, starting today, you sanctify yourself. And therefore, v'hayamim harishonim yiplu, you gotta let go of what happened before. You gotta move it out of your mind. You gotta move forward. You ask any athlete who has a setback in sports, they all tell you, all the great ones, you know what they're able to do? They're able to move on from failure. Right? If we were doing a drusha now, I would have Googled properly beforehand. But I've read so many articles of athletes that say that you lose a game, you gotta put it behind you and move on, you gotta look forward. Right? You let in the goal, as a goalie, you gotta let it go and move forward. The worst thing you do, golf shot, the worst thing a golfer can do is focus on the last hole. Even if you triple bogeyed the last hole, you know what you gotta do? You gotta let that out of your mind and you gotta focus on the next hole. We are always working on ourselves, and everything in life is not linear, but it's up and down. That's how the stock market works in a healthy way. If it's just going up, it's gonna crash. It has ups and downs and ups and downs. That shows a healthy stock. Life is the same way. So there's gonna be ups, there's gonna be downs. The key is not to get stuck in the downs. The key is not to get deterred by those setbacks, but rather by yomahu, to focus on what it is going forward. Mikan vahala. I'm not stuck in the past, but rather I am going forward. And now you understand this beautiful understanding of the Pesukim, he says. Peta pitom. All of a sudden you're faced with a setback. So what do? V'kidesh es rosho bayomahu. You sanctify yourself going forward. You don't wallow. You don't get stuck in the past. You don't obsess and perseverate. But bayomahu, ve'ayamim harishonim yiplu. You can only go forward when you let go of the past. If you get stuck in the past, then it's always going to hold you back. So whatever it is that you're working on, whether it's anger, whether it's being a better parent, whether it's being a better spouse, whether it's being a better child, whether it's Shmir Senayim, whether it's diet, whether it's exercise, whatever it is you're working on, I promise you, you will have a setback. When you do, ve'ayamim harishonim yiplu. You can't focus on the previous hole. You can't focus on your triple bogey. Rather, bayomahu. You got to focus on the next hole ahead of you. You got to focus on the next shot. And that's the way that you're going to move forward from whatever setbacks you have. So idea number one was from the Chasam Sofer, that really stunning idea of that we are living in a Merari generation, a generation of maror, a generation where our Jewish identities are being tested. And if we stand that test, then him gedoli mishalem, that makes us a great generation. We don't need anybody else. That is strength in and of itself. That is the highest heights a Jew can reach. Idea number two was from the Beis Yisrael about how to overcome failure, how to overcome setbacks, how not to get stuck in the mistakes and the setbacks of your past, but to allow yourself the courage to move forward. That is the idea of not vayamim harishonim yiplu, to let go, yipul, like to fall, let go of what happened beforehand, but vikidish bayomahu. Now I just look forward. I don't look at the triple bogey, I look at the 18th hole. That's the only way you're going to be successful. It works for athletes, and it's going to work for you and me as well. Okay, idea number three comes from a sefer. To be honest, I don't know who wrote the sefer. Maybe one of our listeners will email me. But it's a sefer called Chut Shel Chesed. I saw it quoted a number of years ago in one of these like Parsha sheets, and I looked it up, and I think it's a beautiful idea. He writes here that when we come to the Isha Sota, the wayward wife, so you'll notice that it uses a number of double languages. So for example, it says, ish, each man, or any man, ki tiste ishto, that when his wife will go astray, umala bo ma'al, and she will commit a treachery against him. Rashi says, what's the treachery? She does something that is unbecoming of a nice Jewish woman. Okay? Asks the sefer, Chutcha Chesed, why do you have two double languages in that pasuk? Ish, and umala ba ma'al. That same word twice. Ish, the word ish is written twice, and the word mal is written twice. Why do you have both of those as double languages? That's the question they ask. I never thought of it, but it seems like an obvious question the second I saw him ask it. So he says, number one, he says ish means, right, a man. He says that sometimes the problems come when you look at yourself and you say, and these are my words, not his, I'm the man. I'm the man. Ish. I'm the man. There's a certain arrogance. There's a certain haughtiness in the attitude, in the mindset of such a person. He says, Lashon srara v'chashivas. It's a sense of overimportance. It's a sense of dominance that I have, domination that I have. So ish. Number one, he says, problems start in the house when the husband thinks ish. When the husband comes home and says, I'm the man. I'm the man. See, we have a rule in my house. You know what it is? I'm not going to say this. I've heard of other people who have rules in their houses. I have a friend. No. I actually know a lot of rabbis that are like this. A lot of rabbis. Sometimes we give a good drasha, we give a good shiur. Sometimes we're given opportunities that not everyone have. Maybe it's, you know, to speak somewhere or to interact with someone or to travel a certain way, whatever the case might be. And you know what we do when we come home? First thing we do when we walk in the door, we're feeling so good about ourselves. Ish, you know, I gave a speech here, I nailed this one. You know what happens? Sitting at the door waiting for us is the garbage. Take out the garbage. You know why? Because Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with spouses that remind us of who we really are. We're there to take out the garbage. They keep us humble, they keep us grounded. That's ish. Ish says problems start in the home when a person thinks to himself, I'm the man. There's a haughtiness. There's an arrogance. There's a sense of overimportance. That is when it's an unhealthy relationship. And so he says, number one, where does this whole sota thing, ish. He says, number one is you got to get rid of that arrogance. You have to have a certain sense of humility. Problems start in the home when, ish, I'm the man. That's a problem. That's never an attitude. If you ever feel that way, go take out the garbage. I promise you, put the kids to sleep. It'll humble you pretty quickly, okay? But then we come to the second duplication in the pasuk of umaala bo ma'al. The word ma'ala, which art school translates as treachery, but it means that the woman did something she shouldn't do. Why is that the double language? Says the Chutcha Chesed something so beautiful. He says this type of stuff does not happen in a vacuum. Someone doesn't just wake up one morning and decide that they're going to rebel and revolt against their husband and whatever, right? Ma'ala bo ma'al means that there's something that led up to that. That there was a pattern of behaviors that led up to ultimately what we're going to read about in the Pesukim. And so he writes, Umala bo shagam humal. The husband has to look at himself and say, what did I do to contribute to this? V'zeu ha-kefel u'malo ba'mal. Ma'shemala bo, mishum shagam humal. He also has to recognize that he contributed. What did the house look like? What influences do they allow into the home? What type of kedusha did they work on in the home? All of that is a factor. So it's very easy to blame someone else for the problems. It's very easy to look at the other person and say, look what you did. But says the Chut Shel Chesed, sometimes you got to be willing to look in the mirror and say, what did I do to contribute to that? Did I get too angry? Was I too dominating? Did I do my part to create kedusha in the home? Maybe I brought outside influences that were unhealthy in the home. Maybe I looked at things I shouldn't have looked at. Maybe I did things I shouldn't have done. Maybe I spoke to people I shouldn't have done. Right? Instead of looking and blaming the other person, he says, you have to mashemala bo shagam humal. The husband has to also look at himself. It's a two-way street. It's not just what one person does and to put your blame on another person, but you have to be willing to look at yourself. And he says that's why the pasuk says umala bo mal shev avera goreres avera, because the actions that I do impact have a domino effect. They impact the general kedusha, the general sanctity of the home. Vizosa yisha shezanta behechrach shemikodem zen nichsho beavera cheres. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's a pattern. There's a certain environment that's created. And so before you look at the other person and go to blame them and shift the blame to them, first, you got to look at yourself and say, what have I done to contribute either in a good way or in a negative way to the kedusha of my home? Why do I love this idea? Take it out of the Isha Sota that the Pasuk is talking about at that moment. But I think it's such an important point for every single one of us. Because what it does is it forces us to point the finger to ourselves in any circumstance and say, what's my part of it? What's my part of it? Just today, someone got upset at me. I got very upset back at them. And then I took a step back and I said, before I get upset at this other person, because I think they were wrong and they were childish and they were immature, and I could go on, but right? But before I do all of that, right? So I took a step back after sending a text I probably shouldn't have sent, but then I took this step back and I said, you know, what did I do to contribute to this? Like, obviously, that person didn't just react in a vacuum. There was something that caused them to react the way that I did. And the truth is, I probably could have handled things a little bit differently, and that's what created a path to us to, you know, to reconcile and to move forward. In any circumstance, it's easier to place the blame on another person. It's much harder to look at yourself and say, what have I done to create the circumstances that enabled this to happen? And being willing to look in the mirror, and being willing to have that sense of self-reflection is a sign of greatness. So if ish is false greatness, where you're haughty and you're arrogant, real greatness comes when umal obamal, you're willing to look in the mirror. You're willing to say, what have I contributed to this circumstance? What have I contributed to this situation? What do I bring into my home? What type of attitude? What type of mindset? What type of happiness? Or what type of complaining? Am I always, when I walk in the door, lamenting and whining and complaining about my day? Or do I walk in the door with a sense of joy and a sense of happiness? When I sit with the dinner table with my children, am I speaking Lashon Hara and bashing and talking about this president and that Elon Musk, right? Or am I choosing to make more meaningful conversation that won't cause my children to grow up to be cynics and scoffers in the world, right? What am I doing to not just put the blame on everybody else and talk about everybody else, but to be willing to look in the mirror and say, what type of an environment am I working hard to create in my home, in my work environment, within my friends? It's very easy to blame other people. It's much harder to look at yourself and saying, what have I done to create that environment? And that's why he says, umala bo mal, shagam hu mal, that the husband has to look at himself. He asked anybody in any circumstance, they have to be willing to look at themselves and say, what have I contributed to these circumstances that caused the situation that I currently find myself in? It's very easy to blame someone else, much harder to look at yourself. And so we saw three very beautiful ideas. First idea was from the Chabsam Sofer, that we are living in a generation of Merari. There is a generation of Kahat, a generation of Gershon, a generation of Merari, and in his words, the generation of Merari, when you have that Jewish pride, Gedolim Mehem, that is the biggest, greatest generation. Idea number two is from the Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yisrael about how to not let our failure hold us back. Not let mistakes get us stuck. But how to move past that? It is by Yomahu. By not looking at the bogey from last hole, but by looking at the next hole ahead of you. Idea number three was from the Chut Shel Chesed. About, not about blaming others, but about being willing to look at yourself. Uma'ala bo'mal. Shagam hu'mal. The husband has to look at himself and say, what did I do to help contribute to these circumstances? And I think you could extrapolate it far beyond the circumstance of the meisota, and to recognize that in any situation you find yourself in, there's always two parties. There's always the other person, but there's what I have done, what I brought to the table, and what I can fix. It's very easy to look at other people. It's much harder to be willing to look in the mirror and do the work yourself. I wish you all a good Shabbos.